Welcome to this podcast episode from the Oxford Dictionary of National Biography, published by Oxford University Press. This episode tells the story of Wallace Windsor, better known as Mrs. Simpson, whose relationship with King Edward VIII prompted the abdication crisis of 1936. Having listened to this life, why not visit the dictionary online? The complete Oxford DNB includes the stories of 58,000 people, from the Romans to the 21st century. Further details are available at oxforddnb.com. Wallace Windsor, also known as Mrs. Simpson, 1896 to 1986, wife of Edward, Duke of Windsor, written by Philip Ziegler. Wallace Windsor was born Wallace Warfield on the 19th of June 1896 in Blue Ridge Summit, Pennsylvania, USA, the only child of Tekle Wallace Warfield, an unsuccessful businessman, and his wife, Alice Montague. The Warfields and Montagues were of distinguished southern stock, but Wallace's parents were poor relations, and her father died when she was only 5 months old. She spent her childhood in cheese-paring poverty, resentfully aware that her friends could afford nicer clothes and more lavish holidays. It seems reasonable to trace to this early deprivation the acquisitive streak which so strongly marked her adult character. With her quick wits, vitality, and fine violet-blue eyes, Wallace ensured she gained many admirers in her youth. When only 19, she fell in love with a naval aviator, Lieutenant Earl Spencer, whom she married in November 1916. It proved a disastrous match. Spencer's promising career disintegrated as he took to drink, and Wallace, whose tolerance of weakness was never conspicuous, became increasingly alienated. They decided to separate in 1922, and, a brief reunion having failed, were divorced in 1927. By then, Wallace had already won the affections of the businessman Ernest Aldrich Simpson, a son of the English shipbroker Ernest Simpson and his American wife. Wallace joined him in London, where he was managing the office of his family shipping company, and they married on the 2nd of July 1928. Most of their friends were in the American colony in London, among them Benjamin Thor of the US Embassy, his wife Consuelo, and her younger sister Thelma, Viscountess Furness. Lady Furness was at that time the mistress of the King's eldest and unmarried son, Edward, Prince of Wales. It was in her house at Melton Mowbray that Mrs. Simpson, on the 10th of January 1931, met the Prince, the man who was to become her third husband. The precise nature of Mrs. Simpson's appeal to the Prince of Wales could only be understood by him. Probably he hardly understood it himself. It is sufficient to say that by early 1934, Edward had become slavishly dependent on her, and was to remain so for the rest of his life. The courtiers at first thought that this was just another of his recurrent infatuations, but throughout 1935, they became increasingly alarmed as Mrs. Simpson's role became more prominent and impinged on the performance of his duties. It seems highly unlikely that Mrs. Simpson seriously entertained the possibility that she might become queen. Indeed, all the indications are that she enjoyed her role as Edward's mistress and confidant, and would have been satisfied to retain it. The prince, however, convinced himself that his happiness depended on securing Mrs. Simpson as his wife. From his accession as King Edward VIII on the 20th of January 1936, his main preoccupation was to bring this about. Edward VIII's reign was marked by swelling scandal as his relationship with Mrs. Simpson became more widely known. The cruise which the couple undertook around the Eastern Mediterranean in September 1936 attracted keen interest everywhere except in the British Isles, where the press maintained a discreet silence. It was, however, the Simpsons' imminent divorce which convinced the British Prime Minister, Stanley Baldwin, that he faced a serious constitutional crisis. On the 20th of October, he confronted Edward at the King's Country House, Fort Belvedere, in Windsor Great Park, but it was only a month later that Edward stated categorically that he intended to marry Mrs. Simpson once she had divorced. Baldwin was convinced that this must lead to the king's abdication of the throne. The king toyed with the idea of a morganatic marriage, whereby titles would not be passed on to his new wife. This was a solution that would certainly have appealed to Wallace Simpson. But Edward was equally determined to renounce the throne if that was the price he had to pay. Once Wallace Simpson realised that marriage would cost the king his throne, she tried to change his resolve. Anticipating much hostile publicity when the story broke in Britain, Wallace retreated first to Fort Belvedere and then to the south of France. From there, in a series of distraught telephone calls, she tried to persuade Edward not to abdicate, even if this meant giving her up. She accomplished nothing. This was the only subject on which she was unable to dominate her future husband. On the 10th of December 1936, Edward VIII abdicated, his reign having lasted 327 days, the shortest of any recognised monarch since the boy king Edward V in the 15th century. No longer king, he was introduced by John Reith for his BBC radio broadcast on the evening of the 11th of December as His Royal Highness Prince Edward. Whatever the misjudgments and miscalculations he had made up to this point, his broadcast was a triumph and remains poignant decades later. In a sentence which became immediately famous, he remarked, "You must believe me when I tell you that I have found it impossible to carry the heavy burden of responsibility and to discharge my duties as king as I would wish to do, without the help and support of the woman I love." His decision, he said, has been mine and mine alone, referring to Mrs. Simpson as the other person most nearly concerned. The prince described her efforts to the last to persuade me to take a different course. With the new title, His Royal Highness the Duke of Windsor, Edward now went into exile. There followed 6 months of separation while Mrs. Simpson waited for her decree absolute, before, on the 3rd of June 1937, the couple were married in France at the Château de Condé in Touraine. No member of the royal family was present, and the new duchess, on doubtful legal grounds, was denied the title of Her Royal Highness. The refusal of her husband's relatives to accept her as part of the family caused embittered and undying resentment in the duchess. Until the outbreak of the Second World War, the Windsors lived mainly in Austria and France. The Duchess accompanied her husband on his visit to Germany in 1937. It was popularly believed that she had fascist sympathies, and it has even been claimed that she worked for German intelligence. But there is no evidence that she held any considered political views, still less indulged in such activities. When war broke out in September 1939, she returned with the Duke to Britain and then to France. When the Germans overran France in June 1940, the Windsors escaped into Spain and thence to Portugal. From there, they left for the Bahamas, where the Duke took up the post of governor in August 1940. The Duchess hated their 5 years in Nassau and made no secret of her views to those close to her. But on the whole, she performed the duties of governor's lady conscientiously. She entertained stylishly and went through the rituals of opening bazaars and inspecting hospitals with unexpected grace. Her happiest weeks, however, were spent on shopping expeditions in the United States, and she was much criticised for irresponsible extravagance at a time when Britain was under attack. After the war, the Windsors again settled in France, and their life became a dreary, though to the Duchess presumably satisfying, merry-go-round of visits that featured Antibes, Paris, New York, and Palm Beach. The Duchess entertained lavishly and was counted among the best-dressed and most fashionable figures in international society. Some of her friends were raffish, a few even vicious, but it was the sterility of her life that was most remarkable. Though her husband resumed a somewhat cool relationship with his mother and siblings, the Duchess was never received by the royal family and remained fiercely hostile to them. In 1956, she published her memoirs, The Heart Has Its Reasons, an on the whole good-tempered and balanced book, which was largely ghosted, but still reflected fairly her wit and considerable common sense. When the Duke died on the 28th of May 1972, she was invited to Buckingham Palace, but it was too late for the reconciliation to mean much to her. The last 14 years of her life were spent in increasing decrepitude. During the final five, the Duchess lived in total seclusion. She died at her home on the Rue du Champ d'Entraînement near Paris on the 24th of April 1986 and was buried beside her husband in the Royal Burial Ground at Frogmore near Windsor. For many years the subject of debate, recent popular depictions of Wallis Simpson have included the 2010 Oscar-winning film The King's Speech and W.E., directed by the musician and actor Madonna. Having listened to this life of Mrs. Simpson, why not visit the Oxford DNB online at oxforddnb.com? Here you'll find 150 free podcast episodes, as well as biographies of thousands of interesting people who shaped all aspects of British history.